Digital Radio on the app, on your smartphone, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, November 3rd, our first cast of November. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also an online digital radio. You can hear Brett in the middle of the night. And visit our website, thesportscast.net, or follow us on X and Threads at the Sportscast One, Instagram too, the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Week 9 was not a blowout like Week 8. Definitely some closer games, and we saw the best game of the season, but I still think the playoffs is where the real games happen. And join us all the way from West Palm Beach, Brett Blair. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Always a pleasure, Santiago. How you doing, my friend?
Brett, good. Week 9, no blowout. I mean, you think the teams are kind of saying, hey, I mean, sorry, the NFL or the teams are saying, look, we don't want to blow out City no more, but maybe this is a closer matchup to Colts lost. But your overall thoughts over Week 9?
Well, I mean, look, parity. Parity is what it's all about in the NFL. You know, that
I learned that from you, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's just literally what it's about. You know, that parity of one team being able to compete with another. But you always get, you know, there's always outliers on one side or the other. And that's where you have, like, the Colts game yesterday. That's an outlier on one side or the other because you can actually – quantify everything. But I still did horrible this week for picks. You know what I'm saying? We did, as far as what we thought, there was a lot of games that didn't go the way that
you're referencing. Oh yeah, go. Picks. Yeah, you're referencing the picks what we did on Friday with Ray.
Right. And we you know, we're the first week I had a, you know, like in a 12-2 week, but since then, wow, I'm not hitting the mark. I'm glad I'm not, you know, throwing. I don't have skin in the game.
NFL is your theory with parity.
Yeah.
So, quite something. Jonathan Taylor, definitely his MVP stock went down this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. They actually were talking more about Allen and Mahomes now instead of Jonathan Taylor. And you got to throw Cook in there as well, man. Like, he's a
James
beast,
Cook.
You know?
I texted yesterday. I put James Cook. Block.
Stuffed at the 1 yard line, dude. How many players? I had Cook. I had Mahomes. I had Hunt. I had Shakir and Kelsey. Everybody was stuffed at the 1 yard line. Every touchdown, it was horrible as far as that. But we'll get into that game when you want. But
you think those were the two best teams in the AFC, or you think the Colts is in that mix?
I think it's too early to call. It's simply because it's in the NFL. Besides parity, it comes down to who's playing the best football at that right team. Who's peaking? Just like the Giants beating the Patriots in that Super Bowl, where the Patriots were undefeated. Who was playing the best football at the right time of the year? Who's coming together? Perfect. A couple teams look good here and there. We've seen what talent you have, what we can do. But we're halfway through. Like, halfway through.
For you don't win Super Bowls in October, right?
Yeah. I mean, for you to try it for, you know, especially with the amount of injuries. Like, you have, like, even the Chargers, all pro, one of the best defensive or offensive tackles, goes out. You know, injuries are really what's setting the tone. In my opinion, for a lot of this NFL season, we always have injuries and we hate them. We despise injuries, but it seems to be very prevalent in the NFL this year.
Very prevalent. You got to have that QB2. You got to have that backup running back. You got to have that OL, the lineman, things like that. Anyways, we got some top headlines going on. Breaking news this morning: Eagles acquire Miami Dolphins Jalen Phillips for a third round pick. The Eagles are making move. They also got Jaire Alexander this past weekend. Brett, they got some moves going on. Tuesday's the trade deadline. What are the Eagles doing?
It kills me. It kills me. They just continue to make the right moves. They continue. First of all, Phillips, you only have to give up a third round pick. Like, I can't believe they gave up a productive. They're besides Rasul Butler, that's literally the best defensive player on the Dolphins. And you only got a third round pick from. So I don't believe they got the draft equity that they should have got for him. Maybe even get a late pick, a fifth round, an additional fifth. But again, from the Philadelphia side, Jesus friggin' Christ, man, they continue to make the moves they need to make. Their general manager is by far the best general manager in the NFL. Like, between the drafts that he put together over the couple of years, the trades that they needed, bringing in the right pieces at the right time, that's why they're winning Super Bowls. Besides the fact that they have three Jalens now, so the Cowboys have three Tylers on our offensive line. They have three Jalens now: Jalen Carter, Jalen Smith, and Jalen Hurts. So I think it's a friggin' incredible addition for them, and it hurts me as a Cowboy fan to see it.
Can we see a Hail Mary and a Myles Garrett in an Eagles uniform, or do you think that's a little bit overreached?
Well, I think that's why they went to Phillips. I don't think, you know, obviously they went to the Cleveland and said, listen, we'll give you three number ones, will you? And I heard, and from what I hear, again, I don't really know what the truth of what was said, you know, that day, but no, they weren't interested. They weren't interested to get rid of them at all. So instead of not doing anything, he circles back and grabs a tier two defensive end that's not going to do a Myles Garrett, but you only gave up a third round pick for him. So again, from the Philadelphia side, I think it's a very savvy move. I think it's filling pieces that they know they're going to need. And again, it's what's setting them apart over the past couple of years, you know, from not only the Cowboys, but every team in the NFL.
And this is the first move from Miami with their new interim GM, Tim Kelly. You thought that was a good move from him? Would Chris Greer have done this? I don't know.
No, I think they're cleaning house. Again, I cannot understand only giving up the third-round pick. Don't get me wrong, Phillips is not going to go to the Pro Bowl this year, but he has pressures. If you look at his numbers, he doesn't rank out. He ranks out as a tier two and still to fill that piece. What are we missing? What is my team missing? Just like Charles Haley coming over to the Cowboys when we were right there at the point, he comes over. And now we have a bookmark defensive end, and that sets the tone. So making those trades, getting those players that fill those specific needs, that's what wins you. That and defense, right, is what wins you championships. Huh?
The defense wins championships, quite something. Okay, so there's a little bit more of injuries going on. Jaden Daniels, he is suffering a gruesome elbow injury. He's out in definitely. I looked up the health of how the recovery could be up to 3 to 4 months. How significant it is for the Commanders? It looked pretty broke. The wide receivers could come back, but how significant is this for the Commanders?
I mean, obviously, it's your number one quarterback coming off an incredible rookie season. It doesn't matter for the Commanders this year. Obviously, he's gone. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way he comes back this year. There's no way that anybody could rehab and get the surgeries wherever you need to fix what happened, what I saw happen in last night.
Dislocated elbow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just whatever's necessary. He's not playing this year, but he shouldn't. He played, and the Seattle Seahawks beat him like a drum. So that's with Daniels. So the injury didn't happen until late in the game, man. They were getting just walked all over. Like, they made Darnold look incredible. Let me rephrase that. Darnold looked incredible. Nobody had to make him look incredible. He went out there and he was just hitting every pass on the field. I believe he was no incompletions and four touchdowns in the first half. There's only one other quarterback, which I can't believe it's Ryan Tannehill. But Ryan Tannehill, four touchdowns in the first half of an NFL game. And no incompletions. That's what Darnold did, and Commanders were done. They were done. Yeah. So let Daniels heal. Let him do what he's got to do. Circle back. Obviously, yeah. Dan Quinn is a defensive coach, obviously with the Cowboys and he's a defensive genius. But their defense looks horrible. Their defense doesn't look like they're doing the schemes that they're playing. They look horrible. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that saves them for that season. Obviously, it's a horrible loss, your quarterback, but just the season's done. Stick a fork in them, circle back, we get a couple wins, you get a couple losses, but start looking into what we can do next year. Like, if this is the time where if I had somebody, I'd make some trades and see what I could do. But I don't even know what the Commanders could bring in a trade that would, you know, like Phillips to Philly and fill in that spot. I don't know. So,
quite something. Packers also lost Little Gronk, they call him. Tucker Kraft out with an ACL injury.
Yeah, gone.
How significant is that for the Pack?
I mean, he was on pace to be in the top three, top four for tight ends for the season. Scoring long touchdown passes, really putting it together. Like him, there's a few tight ends that are just obviously Bowers, but there's five or maybe even seven or eight, right, tight ends that are just out there from Laporta to Hockenson all the way through. But they have other weapons. But obviously, like, it's a loss. It's a loss. It's another injury again, and what I was saying about an injury pro season.
Yeah, quite something. You got to be prepared for these teams. The tight end, the backup for the Packers is Luke Musgrave and John Fitzpatrick. I think Musgrave might get more of the touches from now on. So let's see what happens. I think, like I said, you got to be prepared for the injuries, management. How's that medical team do you have? The doctors, are they taking care of the players? Things like that. All of those little details matter, right, Brett?
Yeah, the training staff, and everybody, well, most people know, the training staff is what holds that team together. The relationships that are made, that's where you're healing. That's where you're, these are the people that are making me right because of the, 100 hits my body took during an NFL game. So obviously, but I don't think there's any NFL team that's lacking, and you'd say a reason that they're having these problems, because the injuries are just happening. They're obviously getting these people back on the field is of the utmost importance. But I would highly doubt that there's one NFL team that their training staff and their doctors and their medical staff and everybody has that support team isn't just like taking care of these like the players they are, the $100 million, $200 million players that they are. So, but it is very important. I would agree, Sam.
One plus side of it is those backup positions, the RB2s, the tight end twos, they're a moment to shine as well.
Or fold.
Playing for a contract. Let's see what happens. Anyways, it's Brett's first time recapping NFL. Giants lost Scataboo, and the Niners are a little bit banged up, but they're getting results. Christian McCaffrey, top 500 rushing and receiving yards through 9 games. Niners may add depth before trade deadline. The Giants defense collapse again, Brett. Third straight, 30-plus points allowed. Theo Johnson, tight end drops continue. Pressure goals for the coach of the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Niners look good. The Giants scored 24 points. I really don't even think they would get, be able to score that many with the injuries that they have now with the Neighbors and Scataboo. But the Niners look tough, and they're making a couple of trades, obviously, to see what they can do. But McCaffrey is when he's playing like he's playing,
he's healthy in October.
It's a different level. When you see him catching these swing passes, when you see him coming out of the backfield, when you see him doing the wheel route, when you see him doing any, he's just, it's almost beautiful to watch him run. And he just continues to rack up yards, whether it's, rushing or receiving. He is an elite. He's back. He's proving himself as the elite running back that he was a few years ago post-injury.
Let's go into Chargers versus Titans. Chargers remain unbeaten when offensive tackle Joe Alt plays full games. Herbert threw another pick six but led key drives. The Titans' offense remains league worst, Brett, scored only via defense and special teams.
Well, you mentioned Joe Alt. Joe Alt's out now. Like, they lost him. Like, that's a torn ACL again, I believe, as well. And that's one of the top 3 to 5 offensive tackles watching the back, the blind side. Who's got my blind side? Herbert's one incredible quarterback, but you got to protect him. Again, it's another injury to a Pro Bowl player that is going to be gone for the year. Titans are done. I don't know what they're trying to do. They got a Cam, Cam Ward's rookies. He's doing what Aikman did. He's getting his butt beat the whole year to try to put some pieces around him, but they're gone. The Chargers, I love them as that offensive the AFC West. That injury to Alt's gonna matter when they start playing the Chargers with the Chiefs. And again, they got to, that AFC West is a very, very difficult division.
An attractive coaching spot for Tennessee? I don't know.
No, me neither.
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
Let's go to Detroit. J.J. McCarthy coming back from injury. 3 touchdowns, rallied late for the win. Their defense sacked Jared Goff 5 times, Brett.
Yeah.
Detroit's offensive inconsistent again. 65 rushing yards, post by injuries mounted on both lines. Huge win by McCarthy and Minnesota.
Well, first, shout out to my boy Shane. big Vikings fan. Like, I'm looking at a really big football community, NFL community around me that you know, I hear a lot of opinions.
There's no coincidence.
Yeah, I did not think this was happening. This is a game, again, I lost.
You picked the Lions.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you would not, if we went back to Friday again and looked at it again, I would take the Lions again.
Okay? Every day and twice on Sunday.
But J.J. McCarthy, who I beat up, I said he didn't impress me before the ankle injury. Let's see what he can do when he comes back. But his throw, if you know the game of football, he was running all day and two rushing touchdowns, but he threw a back shoulder fade at the end of the game that was the first down that actually now that you want to, you know, literally run off the clock. That's the play that most impressed me. I'm dead about J.J. McCarthy. I said it to a few people. That's the throw that the clutch quarterback makes at the clutch time. It was a perfect back shoulder fade for the first down.
It might be the game they came out strong starter, not a bust. I thought he's a bust. He might be changing my mind a little bit, but just one game.
Just a little bit. He's only changing your mind a little bit with that. That was pretty impressive. But okay.
Patriots win by point. Quarterback Drake May sacked 6 times, Brett, but defense dominant versus the run. Help Bijan Robinson to 45 yards.
Yeah, we had a couple games like they say that there's a book. You know what I'm saying? Like that if you have this many points and the other team has this many points and you do this, and if you're at this yard line and you do this, and there's factors in there, and obviously there's analytics, what they say. I continue to see games like where everybody's going for 4 downs. Everybody's where you're not putting the points on the board. Put the points on the board. About half of them. Some of them go for it. I understand it. It fits. But it's getting to an epic proportion. It didn't happen in this one, but it was a missed extra point that cost this game. The Falcons' last touchdown, their kicker missed the extra point, and that's why they lost 24-23. Plain and simple. The team played good, but you've got to win in all 3 phases, right? Offense, defense, and special teams. They didn't do it.
And coaching. Michael Penix Jr. threw for 3 touchdowns to Drake London, but run game remains underused. Big factor. This game looks – that score looks deceiving, but the Steelers' defense forced 6 turnovers and 5 sacks in the statement win, Brett. Aaron Rodgers distributed to the Niners as the Steelers beat the Colts 27-20.
I think it's a case of the Steelers trying to tell us who they really are. And if this is who they really are and they can bring this on a weekly basis – the Colts are no joke. People, okay, they're still the ranked number one ranked team in the AFC. They're number one. They still have the number one seed. But the Steelers showed up, and the Steelers played again, especially that defense. They just they were all over. And you know what? Danny Dimes is out, right? Daniel Jones got hurt in the game as well.
I think it's another injury. By the way,
that's another injury. You're not gonna win most games even if you just give up 5 sacks. You give up over 5 turnovers and 5 sacks. The crazy thing is, if you think about it, how many possessions and you still only lose 27-20? So that shows me that the Colts have some type of spirit to only lose by 7 in a game where they turned the ball over 5 times and were 5 or 6 and were sacked 5 times and you only lost by a touchdown. Something. I mean, again, these are all the factors that go into every game that change little moments and change the tide of the game.
Quite something. The Broncos, the team that Dallas doesn't like, the Giants doesn't like, but their defense held Houston without a touchdown despite missing star Pat Surtain the second. Will Lutz hit the game winner as the Broncos beat the Texans 18-15.
Now, it was kind of a boring game. You know, it was a boring game. But I will tell you, the best part of this game, if you want to YouTube something, look at Sean Payton coming onto the field talking to Lutz. And you'll see who walks on and he goes, Lutz. Friggin' make this like, and that's the key that, and you could tell
that's Bill Parcells style.
Well, right, he brought Lutz, remember, from the Saints over to the Broncos. So this is a kicker who's had, you know, it's just hilarious. You see him go on, and the way he does it, you friggin', you know, and then you just see Lutz look at him and go, yeah, and then he kicks it through. That was the best part. Literally, when the coach making something outfield is the best part of the game. It's really not an exciting game, but that was cool to see.
CJ Stroud left with a concussion, so we'll see what happens with that. Bears at Bengals. Bears rushed for 283 yards, Brett. Rookie Kyle Monagai ran for 176. Caleb Williams hit Colston Loveland for a game-winning 50-yard touchdown as the Bears beat the Bengals 47-42. Joe Flacco threw for 470 yards.
My boy, Johnny Flacco, almost 41 years old. My dude, like that old dude's getting it up. But this was the most exciting game of the day. There was an interception by Edmonds. He actually ran back for a touchdown that would have literally changed the tide of not having the score we have. That was said that he was touched before he went down. So they were able to go back and forth, and Flacco just looked like a beast. Hit everybody but my boy Jamar Chase on the field. But your guy, T. Higgins, had a monster day. But yes, the only thing I got to say about Cincinnati is I like them because they're probably the only defense that's worse than Dallas's in the NFL. I think that they're the only thing that prevents us from being 32. That you can't get a stop at that end of the game.
They surrendered your team 300 rushing yards.
They did. Yeah, they couldn't. It was ridiculous. And then the last pass, the Cortland Loveland, the rookie tight end, just again no tackles. It was like 15 or 16 missed tackles in the game. They were even counting them. That was just a comedy of errors as far as them on defense. But it was a fun game to watch. Like I couldn't believe the Bengals got themselves back in it. It was very, very impressive what they did. But it's just like Dallas. Like they're going to have to outscore everybody because we can't stop anybody on defense. So and that's not a recipe to win in the NFL.
That's really rough, especially with Joe Flacco a little playing hurt. This game was surprising. I don't think no one picked the Panthers, but they beat the Packers 16-13. Bryce Young returned, leading a fourth straight win. Rico Tattle ran for 130 yards and two touchdowns. The Packers were sloppy. And Tucker Kraft got injured. What's going on in Green Bay?
Again, I was very surprised because it's at Lambeau that the Panthers came in. Like you said, he's led them now to four straight wins. I believe two of them are by a field goal, a game-winning field goal. Obviously, against Dallas, they did it to start the four-game winning streak. And I love it. Man, I mentioned Dallas a lot, don't I?
No pun intended.
And, you know, they beat us the same way. But, again, I can't understand the Packers. I have such – I regard them as such a better team. Tucker Kraft hurts because, again, he was a top three to four, top five tight end as far as receptions and touchdowns.
Does that lower their value?
I mean, he's got one less. He's got a lot of young little wide receivers, but that's going to hurt. Tucker Kraft, but still, they couldn't do anything all day. So unimpressed by Green Bay, and I had higher expectations of them.
Here's a little snoozer. The Rams tight ends dominated. Four caught multiple passes. Kicking woes continue after two early misses from the Rams. Saints rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck made his debut, overshadowed by a non-existent run game. Kamara held under 40 yards again as the Rams beat the Saints 34-10.
Well, I mean, just the Rams look good. Again, that NFC West, you know, that might be what, you know what I'm saying? They have three of the four teams are viable to either win the division or even go to the playoffs and make a run to the playoffs. But the Rams, we got to continue. Matthew Stafford, another old guy that I love,
man.
who's putting the ball, throwing the ball over the field. They have the dual number ones. That's the new thing in the NFL. We talked about it a few weeks ago on one of the other casts. You have two number one receivers, you know, when you have T. Higgins along with Jamar Chase, when you have, you know, you're talking about now Pacua, you got who's just
ridiculous.
Yeah, and then oh yeah, who do we have on the other side? Devontae Adams, probably the best in the NFL at the 50-50 ball. Where they're tush-push.
Like you were saying, that yeah, two number one wide receivers.
Yeah, he's exactly. And then Dallas, CeeDee Lamb, and Pickens. Like, that's the new thing. We talk four teams that
– Eagles have to utilize it like at their best.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams look good. Look really good. But, again, we're halfway through the season.
You don't win Super Bowls in October.
No. And, again, I continue to see what the injuries do. But the Rams look – Kyron Williams, again, went over 100 yards. A touchdown, like he continues to just be that solid running back. And that team, they go as far as their defense takes them because their offense is very, very potent.
Would you put Puka in the top three wide receivers?
Most definitely. Three to five because, I mean, like when you got Jefferson, when you got CeeDee Lamb, when you got Jamar Chase, like it's tough to say. But before he got hit or hurt on that injury, he was set to do records that would have surpassed. And again, he's still – just if they get the ball in his hands any way they can, and he's dangerous in space, he's solid, he's a big guy, he brings a lot to the table. And when you have that, or who do we put two men on him, or do we put two men on Devontae Adams? What do? You can't do that. You know what
love
I'm saying? And they play 11 personnel more than anybody else in the NFL. Like almost 50% 11 personnel means one running back, one tight end, you know, one and one, and then you have three receivers. They play that three receiver set more than anybody in the NFL, and they continue to do damage every step of the way.
Where's that chalkboard? Somewhere in Brett's room. Let's. There's a record that was broken: 68-yard field goal by Cam Little. He broke Justin Tucker's record. The Jaguars, Travis Etienne, had 115 yards. The Raiders, Brock Bowers, carried the team 125 yards, three touchdowns. Las Vegas likely to stand pat at the trade deadline. Hey, Jaguars, good win in Vegas. Even the Raiders are pretty easy, but hey, Cam Little came through.
Look, I know we need to make it quick, but I got a lot to say on this game. First of
I'll make it a huge dissertation.
Okay, Cam Little, incredible. There will be a 70-yarder kicked before the end of this year. Obviously, if people don't know, they're allowed to bring their own football now. It's called a K-ball. It's a kicking football. They're not kicking the ball that everybody's throwing. They're allowed to bring – they have to be inspected. Really? They measure everything, pounds in it. But it meets that criteria. That's their ball, and it's much easier, it seems, to be able to get a lot of distance. Between him and my boy Aubrey, somebody will kick. We use it as a weapon – and kick a 70-yarder by the end of the year. On the other side, this game you didn't mention was lost because the Raiders went for two at the end of the game to win the game as opposed to putting the points on the board and getting in. Now, the book we talked about says at home you go for two. On the road, you go for one. I didn't write the book. So
this is an unwritten book.
This is right. This is the book that they, as they say, they went for two. And they didn't get it. I don't like it. I would have kicked it, taken it into overtime. Or no, it was the end of overtime, right?
It was overtime game.
I guess you know what? I can't justify all the twos, but
this is definitely one of the best games Raiders have done recently. So they might be
I was very surprised. But it's the Jaguars. Look, the Jaguars now hurt with injuries too. Travis Hunter on IR.
Thomas Jr. Might be headed out with a trade.
Yeah, he is. He's hurt as well. I don't know how significant that is or how bad that injury is, but yeah, he's hurt as well. Injuries.
It's a big factor, part of the variables. But hey, trade deadline's tomorrow. Let's go to the game of the week. I think so. Does Brett? Bills Josh Allen completed for 88.5% of passes, team record. Another record broken yesterday. Guiding a balanced attack. Rookie cornerback Maxwell Hairston sealed the win with an interception. The Chiefs defense exposed Josh Allen and Cook, which combined them 250-plus yards. Mahomes faced protection issues and finished below 50% passing in the first half as the Bills defeat the Chiefs 28-21.
Yeah, this game wasn't as close as that 28-21 score. If you watched it, the Bills dominated. I have Cook, and he continues to be dominant. With their running game over 100 yards, or I believe over 100 yards, over five times. If this was six straight game, he had over 100 yards. Josh Allen. The one thing I got to say about the Bills, like something's got to be done about these like exactly trying to get a call. Like Josh Allen and the entire Bills team now are playing like the NBA, where if they it looks like they get hit, they think it. Look up Josh Allen. He even did it yesterday. Where somebody didn't even hit his head, it like stayed. It really a finger touched his helmet.
They did that in FIFA.
That stuff is absolutely ridiculous awkward for me. So I do apologize. I'm trying to call through.
You got some important text messages. We'll wrap the show soon. Let's go to the game Sunday night. We talked a little bit beginning of the show. Seahawks Sam Darnold was flawless with 330 yards and four touchdowns, completing 17 straight passes. Seattle may seek offensive line upgrades for this trade deadline. And Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels injured his elbow. Third injury this year, actually. Yep. Washington's defense gave up 282 first-half passing yards, and its season is unraveling toward a top-10 draft pick. Brett, you got the floor.
Yeah, no, it's Seahawks came out and just laid wood. You know, to like I mentioned, Darnold, he had four touchdowns and no incompletions in the first half. It was over by the first half. Jaden Daniels didn't get hurt until late in the game. So he was in the entire game. You can't say, oh, wait, we lost him. No, he was in until the fourth quarter. He didn't get hurt until late. When some people say he should have maybe not even been in the game coming off of an injury because of the fact that they were doing nothing. The Seahawks front four – With Leonard now, it's very, very dominant. They blitz less than anybody in the NFL, but their front four can not only stuff the run game, but put pressure on the quarterback. And I got to throw in a Leonard, you know, the former Giant that now is on defensive line for Seattle. Do you know he's a spear fisherman?
I know. That,
yeah, he can pretty, hold his
breath. Help him out, I guess, for the game.
For 5 minutes. He can hold his breath. You know how big this dude is? Look at Leonard on Seattle, the defensive tackle. And the dude goes
300 pounders. Fishing
80. Yeah, and there was somebody just mentioned 80 feet the guy goes and can hold his breath for up to 5 minutes. Any defensive tackle that can do that, oh, shit, come on in. If that's what you do in the offseason,
Leonard Williams. Football.
Yeah, Leonard Williams.
Quite something. Well, there you have it. Seahawks are looking good. Tonight we have one more game for week 9, Arizona Cardinals at the Dallas Cowboys. Arizona Cardinals is without Kyler Murray. Jacoby Brissett is in the game. Has he ever won in Dallas? I don't know. Brett, you have the floor. What do you see for tonight? And what do you want to see from the Cowboys?
That you put that so eloquently. I appreciate that. What am I going to see and what do I want to see are vastly different. And again, if the Cowboys show up, if they play like they can play, the defense is horrible, but they've been putting together a few things here or there. If they can start coming together a little bit, we can win a few games. We're not going anywhere. I'm very transparent. I call it like I see it. The Cowboys are not even a playoff team. Not
wow.
Even. Can we beat the Cardinals? Yes, we'll beat the Cardinals tonight. I believe, especially with Kyler Murray out, you know, that'll soften. My nightmare is we make Jacoby look like a superstar, like we did with Caleb Williams earlier in the year. But if the defense can play, we could beat anybody. That let me rephrase. If my defense could play, we can run with anybody in the NFL because our offense is top three, top four, you know, with Cincinnati, with, you know, these teams with points we can put up. But you can't win in the NFL if you have to outscore everybody. Defense wins championships. I'd love to see the Cowboys go out and play strong. They don't play well at home. They for some reason we don't play. We play better on the road than we do at home, which again baffles me. Yeah, it baffles me. This is not this year. This is the past 3 to 5 years. You know, so hopefully we can just pull something together. I'd love to see some old school Cowboy whoop up tonight. That's what I'd love to see. What am I probably going to see? Probably a lot of errors, a lot of missed. You know, as far as you know, missing your scheme, not being where you should be. I think it's going to be Dallas's offense, and if they can play defense, we can take the Cardinals.
Well, there you have it. Defense with championships. Brett wants to see more defense. Give us a score line for tonight. It's going to be high scoring, low scoring.
Well, I'm going to say it, and then I want to say one thing directly to you, Stan. I'm looking for obviously a high score game, probably 24 or 27-20. You know what I'm saying? There, 28-21, something like that.
The Bills and Chiefs,
the high 40s. Yeah, I mean. But I do see the Cowboys winning 47 total points, 48 total points. I don't know what the line is, but I have to say to you, my friend, this is the first time since years ago when we were doing it with only a microphone in your office doing our podcast. This is the first time you and I have been together to shoot the breeze. And I miss it, man. I'm happy that we got to do this, but it reminds me of, 2018, 2017.
Wow, it was like a different decade.
Yeah, when you and I were sitting in Starbucks, you know.
We're predicting games together. That's right. That's where the sportscast was born.
I told you, that's what I'm saying to you. This is apropos.
Exactly.
You and I, because we were sitting there talking the best running backs of all time, best defense of all time. We didn't know.
Walter Payton is still the number one.
No, you can't say that. Jim Brown and Barry Sanders are in there. You can't. And that's even keeping Emmett. Emmett, my boy, is the most yards. When does that come in? When does that a factor? I got more yards.
Let's put Marshall Faulk in it too. What the heck?
Nah, Marshall Faulk's not in that. They really, honestly, like Barry Sanders. I didn't get to see, but when you play in an era when there's really not much passing and everybody's trying to stop you, just you, like literally that's all they're trying to stop, and you still outrun and outdo everything, Jim Brown probably is number one.
Oh, Brown, Dallas.
Yes, I love, listen, again, Walter Payton. You could make concerted, you know, the conversation.
It's how
he went to the team. Yeah. So there's your trifecta of the best running back. But I'm happy we got to do this, Santiago, man. It was a pleasure.
Cowboys are favorite tonight at 3.5. So that's looking good for Dallas tonight. Prime time. Cowboys win in prime time. I think they have a good record on that. So we'll see what Jerry Jones says. I'd like to see a little bit more of Prescott. And
Cowboys with the points tonight. That's what you did. Take the Cowboys with the points.
Let's go. Well, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on Instagram and X. We'll be live tweeting tonight. And your thoughts over the Dodgers winning? That was a good win.
God, last minute. Yeah, I always, you know, I'm a hater when it comes to like teams that aren't my team that win back to backs, and like I start hating them. I just do. I just think that's the way I am. I love my teams, and that's it. But the saying baseball is boring took a different step. Like we had five people over that game, and five or six of us are literally watching every pitch. And that's how – that was exciting. Bases loaded. They're hitting ground, you know, infield grounds. Nobody can get, you know, a sacrifice fly. Nobody can – it was just such an epic game. I was really going for Toronto. A lot of people were mad at me because I was going, you know, against the U.S.
I was going for the Jays. Country-related. Me too. Vlad, I thought they had a chance to beat the Yankees, to beat the Mariners. I thought they have a chance to beat the big behemoth, the L.A. the Dodgers. So we'll see what happens.
I have one thought on this, though. I can't understand how the Dodgers have a billion, not an M, a B, billion dollars in their four starting pitchers. What other team, what are the location, like the Milwaukee Brewers, you know what I'm saying? Or the San, you know.
New York Yankees might be the closest, but.
Well, and the Mets spent more than anybody this year. That was a thing that didn't go anywhere. They did spend more than anybody else, but the Dodgers, you have a billion. How? That's what I can't understand. You know, they pay the luxury tax and they do this, that, and the other. But how can one team have a billion dollars? Yeah, you couldn't put a salary. Their salaries are so out of control. Like Ohtani is 700, right? Or 800 million over 5 years or something like that?
I haven't read his contract.
No, I read it the other day. I remember 700 or 800. 700 million. For 5 years, like that's
I'm sure he's set for retirement.
Yeah, dude. How can one team have $1 billion pitching staff? Other teams can't afford to have. You know, I don't want to go into it too deep, but congratulations to the Dodgers, like Mookie Betts and all these cool players that did win back to back. Super cool. But I really wanted the Jays, like you, bro.
And before the Super Bowl was the World Series. Well, there you have it, Brett. Love talking sports with you. It was a great show, and this was your update.
Love you guys.